From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. My guest today in the JPR studios out in support of his latest release called New Lore is singer-songwriter Sean Rao. Hello, sir. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah.
It is a pleasure to have you in. You are originally from upstate New York, correct?
That is correct, yep.
Born and raised?
Yep. I spent most of my life, right along the Hudson River.
What got you started making music?
I was pretty rhythmic as a kid, and my mother's side of the family kind of got me into playing guitar because they were, my uncles were both guitar players and singers, you know. So I was exposed to, you know, performing early on. I sang in my uncle's church group and all that. And so, you know, as a kid, I was definitely exposed to performing, the performing side of it, but then just music for whatever reason, I was just always drawn to. You know, listening to records for hours.
Hmm. I mean, in modern pop music, and yeah. I use pop as a very overarching term, there are not a lot of singers that have the kind of low resonant voice that you have,
yeah.
And certainly fewer still that are able to pull it off. When did that start to develop?
Right around maybe somewhere in high school, just before, you know, when I was maybe 12, I started playing guitar and writing what I thought were songs, you know. But it wasn't until high school that I had, it was actually after my senior year, was my first, very first concert in front of people in my rock band that I had, you know. So that was like, my voice kind of changed, like when I was maybe 17, got considerably lower than it was before this one particular day that I sang a Black Sabbath song in my friend's garage. And
now, did you have to go back to all of those songs and write them down an octave or two?
No. You see, I wasn't intending to be the singer of my band at all. I just, every singer that we tried was just terrible, you know? And we made a really wise decision as a group of pals in high school that we should just hire our friends. Didn't matter if they couldn't play. They're our pals, you know? So, yeah, we learned that a hard lesson of like, yeah, just because they're your friends doesn't mean they're ever going to be good at playing music, you know? So I just got frustrated, and the band got frustrated. It was like, dude, you should just sing. Why don't you just sing, man? Because I was playing bass at the time in the band. And so it was just weird that I guess because I started to take that on as like my primary focus in the band, reluctantly. I didn't want to be in front of people in the front and sing. I didn't want to do that, but we couldn't find anybody. So I was like forced to be out there. And then I just, by the nature of working my voice in the band and practice, it started to develop and got really low. I just thought of this, that I used to love getting a cold when I was that age too, because it would drop even lower. And I couldn't really hit any high notes, but it would get like really dirty low, you know, and it was like, well, for a couple of days, it was like, yeah, hey, man, let's record something now. You know, I'm ready.
So how long did it take for you to transition away from making rock music with the band to the sound that we know you for?
It took years. And I'm still, I don't feel like I'm done with it either. You know, I think it's a work in progress. And I'm continually trying to challenge the sound that is in my head and matching that up with what's coming out of the amps, you know. So that's the fun part, though. You yeah. don't want to feel like you have it down. You
right.
know what I mean? Because then,
Sean Rao is my guest live today on Jefferson Public Radio. His new record is called New Lore, out on Anti. You have brought in a very road-weary looking Takamine guitar. We'll talk about your setup here in just a bit. What do you want to start with today?
Let's start with the very first track off of the new album. It's called Gas Station Rose.
Still on the road. There's only room on the dash for a gas station road. You know that when I shut up, I got something to say. I was looking at you, you were looking. walking away. At least we dodged the New York winter, but maybe the mountain in our eyes looks more like a mole from the other side. We are the builders of our minds. We're on our own. We're on our own. Another year going by, like the signs on the street. Highway 75, Nebraska flat as a sheet. Oh, living out of the trunk, we bounce around like a dream. Another major drawback, another sweet in between. At least we're both confused again, but maybe the mountain in our eyes looks more like a mole from the other side. We are the elders of our minds. We're on our own. We're on our own. Maybe the mountain in our eyes looks more like a mole from the other side. We are the elders of our minds. We're on our own. Maybe the mountain in our eyes looks more like a mole from the other side. We are the elders of our minds. We're on our own. We're on our own.
That is Gas Station Rose. It's from the new record called New Lore. Sean Rao is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. Well, despite all of the equipment that you have in between your feet and a couple of amps and a dollar bill, it looks like, on the guitar, that actually sounded somewhat like an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, so it's really a hybrid sound. I don't, some songs require a very simplistic approach, I feel. And that's really the beauty of it, is matching that up with, changing the dynamics through a set. So you don't just have, it's not just one sound. I think that gets old. Obviously, when you see a solo performer and they're just playing acoustic guitar, it's just kind of boring for me to just watch them strum and have that be like, 13 songs of strumming and, I can understand why that would be boring and you need a band up there to help them out. But so, I try to treat my sound and set as a full band, so the songs vary.
How many steps have you made along the way to get to where you are now with this setup? I mean, if you were to, control
so
Z,
many.
Undo,
yeah,
undo,
it's,
undo.
It's funny because when people see me, see me on the last tour and they'll be like, whoa. What's going on with your setup now? This is like different. I was like, right. Yeah, man, don't get used to this because this is going to change too next door. So I'm constantly evolving with it, I think.
And this guitar looks like it has been with you a while. You've got it literally taped together.
Yeah, it's been through a lot. It's like a dog that's left in the car with the windows rolled up. It's like constantly questioning me, like, what are you doing to me? Why would you do this to me? But I'm pushing, trying to push the limits of, matching the sound up in my head and, to what's happening on the guitar. And I'm organically experimenting with different sounds and, it's exciting for me. I don't necessarily want a traditional sounding acoustic all the time. But I like the economics of having just one guitar too.
Right.
You know what I mean? So.
You've almost created a guitar controller, sort of. Ahead of this record, you sent out a letter to fans in which you referenced a musical midlife crisis.
Yeah.
What was going on at the time?
It's really reflective of what's happening in the music world on a larger scale, which is that I don't think anybody knows what's going on, you know? There's no real set way to be successful now, you know? And so I feel like, you know, every artist now has the reins, if they want them, to create their own success in the music world, you know? So that means, like, hey, you can't just let everybody do everything for you, you know? I got into this business kind of late for most artists. I was 33 when I put out my record with a label. And so, you know, it was a learning curve for me, because I'd been playing for years, but I didn't get serious and start touring and label and all that until I was 33, 2011, I think it was. And so I sent this letter out to my the fan base that I have, and told them we were going to go on our own for this record, which meant that I really was trying to do everything and just hire out what I needed to for this, for the record, like promotion and distribution. And so we ended up, we did a Kickstarter. It was successful. We raised $53,000 within 30 days. So we surpassed our goal. It was awesome. And, you know, it just made me feel, wow, could do anything, I think. You know, I felt like really good about that fans came to support, and that they really wanted me to continue on. Like, they were really getting something out of this. So, you know, we ended up getting a licensing deal with Anti, the label that I was on previous three records. And so it's like, you know, a great situation to be in for this album.
Sean Rao is my guest. That new record is called New Lore, out on Anti. All right, we're going to hear you set up not sound much like an acoustic guitar, yeah. I guess. What do you want to do next?
Yeah, let's play this song off of my record called The Salesman and the Shark. It's called Joe's Cult.
You won't believe this. Unfortunate as I may have become, I know you're never gonna read this. I know they never sent my letters out. Under the anyway, they got me working on a staircase. Poor little Joe with his walrus face, he's the only one I really talk to now. Now who are we working for? I should have signed up for AmeriCorps. So many hungry children, we could have saved the whole world by now. Oh friend, I'm gonna be honest with you now. I am weary of our noble mission. There's a few of us that feel we've been led to an empty house. There are some of us who know the roof is leaking. And somebody else's clothes, give us a little book of promises. I want out of this. I want the things that I used to fight. I miss my money and I miss my life. My bed in Chicago. Oh friends, I'm gonna be honest with you now. I'm weary of our noble mission. There's a few of us that feel we've been led to an empty house. There are some of us who know the roof is leaking. Oh, hey.
That is Joe's Cult. It's Sean Rao live today on Jefferson Public Radio. His new record is called New Lore. I want to talk about your life outside of music because there is a fascinating component to it. A lot of performers come through. We talk about their love for the outdoors. Yeah. I would say that your love for the outdoors surpasses that of most. You have been described as a forager.
Yeah.
Right? Like someone who just lives off of what you find out in the forests and food and shelter and all of that.
Right.
How did you get started down that path?
Well, when I was very young, my great aunt, who came off the boat from Italy when she was a teenager, you know, she brought this Italian culture with her, which carried on. And a lot of it, you know, it's cliche, but surrounding food. Food and Italian culture, you know, you can't separate that. But also the organic quality of it that goes without saying. Like, she had it. She was pretty much the only one in our upstate New York neighborhood that had a yard with, I mean, it had, she had a garden, two grapevines, cherry trees, peach trees, fig trees, you know, all this stuff, you know. And so I was exposed to that when I was a kid. I thought it was so cool to just be able to go up to the tree in your yard and, like, pick fruit and stuff. So it kind of started for me there, but then I sort of took it further with my fascination of, like, native cultures and how tribal societies survived, how they knew the landscape and interacted with their land base, made clothing, food, you know, everything that they needed to survive and thrive. So I was fascinated by that, and I just took that further of, like, finding people who did that.
Mm.
You know, I studied with experts in that field in survival and foraging, and then the foraging is what really drew me into that world, though, because how cool is it just to, you know, go out in the woods and know what you're looking at and be able to take stuff home and cook it and eat it?
Right.
And so that became a huge part of my life, you know, and I'm still exploring that, and I incorporate that into my, you know, every, you know, my daily food intake.
And you also offer classes on the topic.
I do when I'm around.
Yeah,
you know,
right. I was going to say, how do you manage that, juggle that with touring?
Well, it's because, you know, I might do something in October this year. It's a great time to be home and foraging into that, and I'll be off of the road. So, you know, certain times of the year are really good for that kind of lifestyle. But, you know, it's just a small subset of people that are really interested in that. From my fan base, you know, so yeah, I'll put the word out that I'm doing classes, but you know, I won't get the same amount of people that come to my shows, you know, for music. That's for sure. I know that
around here, it's usually morel hunting.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I've had success once, with morels, in upstate New York, and, was very excited about that, but I do find other mushrooms that I like.
Now, when you're out touring, do you use your time off, what little time off you have, to explore those local regions and try to get outdoors as much as you can?
Definitely. So sometimes I was telling my tour manager Danny that I once was on tour and I found a prickly pear cactus, which are known to be really good and edible. And I was very excited because I haven't seen them. They may be in upstate New York, but I haven't seen them. I was a little bit further. I might have been in Pennsylvania or something, but I saw one in this near a gas station. It was right on the side of the road. I was like, this is awesome. And the fruits are really cool. They're bright, like purple, deep red color, deep reddish purple. And you can eat the fruits and you can actually eat the cactus part. But I wasn't aware. I should have read a little bit more into that because I went right up to it and picked it up. And you can't do that with prickly pear because, you know, hence the name, but they have these spines on them that are so small, you can't really see them by just looking at the thing. They get into your skin and they get into the under the surface of your skin and you cannot get them out. It's really, really frustrating and it hurts.
And I would imagine gas station prickly rose doesn't really work as a song lyric as beautifully as gas station rose.
Flow.
Right.
From the tongue is nice.
Well, it's been a pleasure to have you in and to hear you sing. Sean Rao is my guest today live on JPR. His new record is called New Lore. You've got one more for us?
Yeah, I'd like to play this. This is a cover song by the late, great Leonard Cohen. This is off of his last record. Thank you.
I don't know the people in your picture frame. But if I ever loved you, no, 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 well, there's a crying shame if I ever loved you. If I knew your name, you don't need a lawyer. I'm not making a claim. You don't need to surrender, 'cause I'm not taking aim. And I don't need a lover. No, no, no. That wretched beast is tame. I don't need a love. So blow out the flame. There's nobody coming. There is no reward. Then little by little, we're cutting the cord. We're spilling the treasure. No, no, no. The time cannot afford. I know you can feel it. The sweetness restored.
That's beautiful. It's Sean Rao, live today in the JPR studios. His new record is called New Lore. We will have audio from our session and a few photos up on the website later today at ijpr.org. Sean Rao, thanks for coming by.
Thanks
nice
for
to meet you.
Appreciate it.